welcome back to this lesson today. I'm glad that you have chosen to be a part of this lesson on what does God expect of us. It appears to be a simple question, but is the answer so simple? What is God asking for from you, from me? I believe that it is much more than church attendance, than prayer, than simply believing that Christ is the Son of God. I believe it's more than simply believing that He was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day. I believe that God expects much more from His children, because when I read about the life of Christ, I find that God expected more from Jesus than simply being His Son, more from Jesus than simply being in favor with man and with God. I believe He expected more from Jesus than loving His neighbor as Himself. And the reason I believe this is when I read from the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, and verse 18, I read these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." These are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who loved His neighbor as Himself, the one who bare no false witness against His neighbor, the one who was highly favored by men and of God. Yet our Heavenly Father expected more than that. Jesus said, "He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It appears to me that the job that God the Father had for Jesus to do was primarily among the poor, the sick, the brokenhearted, the in prison, the blind, the sinner. He says, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." God wants us to have more than just existence. He wants us to live that abundant life. In John, the 17th chapter, when Jesus was praying to His Father, He said, "As You has sent Me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world." And in John, the 20th chapter, Jesus told His followers, "As My Father has sent Me, even so I send you." And Luke tells us in chapter 9, He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It appears to me that God has something more than just being a child of His, just being holy, just being righteous, just being a good neighbor. Jesus said that He sent His disciples like God the Father sent Him, to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. This amazing news of the gospel is that men and women, through our Lord's atoning death, can now be reconciled to God. The good news that Jesus proclaimed has a fullness beyond salvation and the forgiveness of sins. It signifies the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. This new kingdom, the characteristics of which was captured in the Beatitude, would turn the existing world order upside down. The kingdom of which Jesus spoke was one in which the poor, the sick, the grieving, the cripples, the slaves, widows, orphans, lepers were to be lifted up and embraced by God. It was a world order in which justice was to become a reality. First, in the hearts and minds of our Lord's followers, and then to the wider society through their influence. Jesus' disciples were to be salt and light to the world. They were to be the yeast that leavens the whole loaf of bread. His kingdom was not intended to be a far-off and distant kingdom, to be experienced only in the afterlife. The kingdom that our Lord proclaimed was a call for a redeemed world populated by redeemed people. More and more, our view of the gospel has been narrowed to a simple transaction marked by checking a box at some prayer breakfast or coming forward during an altar call. It's about saving as many people from hell as possible for the next life, and I'm for that every day. But this minimizes any concern for those same people in this life. It's not important that these people are poor, are hungry, are persecuted, or maybe perhaps rich and greedy and arrogant. We just want to get them to pray the sinner's prayer and then move on to the next potential convert. In our efforts to make the good news accessible and simple to understand, we seem to have boiled it down to a kind of fire insurance. Once the policy is in effect, the person can go back to whatever life he was living, whether he was poor and sick or wealthy and successful. As long as the policy is in the drawer, we've got our ticket to the next life. But my friend, this limited view of the kingdom of God is not the whole gospel. When we focus exclusively on the afterlife, it reduces the importance of what God expects us here in this life. This gospel that Jesus preached was intended to change and challenge everything in our fallen world, here and now. It was not to be a way out of the world, but rather the means to actually redeem the world. We are commanded to go into the world to bear fruit by lifting up the poor, the marginalized, wherever we find them, rejecting the worldly values that are found in our culture, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And this all begins with making that first decision to be his disciple.